This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at dicetower.com.
Well, howdy, family gamers. This is Jeff Johnston of Parajax Games, and I joined you way back in episode 43. So happy to see you've arrived at a momentous 200th episode. Gosh, where did the time go? Seriously, thank you for your great podcasts. Thank you for sharing yourselves and your charming family with my games, and thank you for all those things you do behind the scenes, including giving me advice on almost all my game projects. I appreciate it all. Keep up the good work, and here's wishing you 200 more!
Welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast.
Woohoo!
It's episode 200!
We are here. This is awesome. I am so excited. We've been building up to this for a couple of weeks. We are going to give away a ton of stuff on the show.
At least we're going to try.
We're going to try. I think we'll be successful. The only person who's here who could stop me is you. And I don't think you're going to stop me.
All right. Fair enough.
And I have this pile of free stuff that I want out of my office. So...
That too.
We're going to make sure to give away some stuff. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast. As always, I am your host, Andrew, and I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And I have a special treat for everybody.
Okay.
On this epic episode 200, I have 200 facts about the number 200.
No.
I'm only kidding. How about two facts?
I can deal with two facts.
Okay. The first fact, did you know that the main square in Krakow, Poland is 200 meters by 200 meters?
So it's actually a square, unlike what we have here in New England.
Yep. Nothing is square in New England.
Nothing is square in New England.
No house is square, nothing.
Nothing.
They've been built for too long.
And it's 200 meters on a side.
Yep.
That pretty cool.
40,000 square meters.
I mean, it's big.
That's a lot of square meters.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. The other fact is that historians believe that the building of the Great Wall of China began in 200 BC.
That's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. It's also a really long wall.
That's true.
So those are my facts for 200. I really want to put like effects around every time I say 200, like when someone says something and there's lightning outside, you know,
yeah.
Maybe some, I don't
How
know.
Do you do that? Practice.
But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We have lots of really cool stuff to share with you, lots of stuff to give away, like I said before. But first, this episode of the Family Gamers Podcast is sponsored by First Move Financial.
Hi, everyone. This is Donnie with First Move Financial. Did you know that 200 is the number of episodes recorded by the Family Gamers? They started their podcast in August of 2015. What else happened in 2015? Well, we had the release of Pandemic Legacy Season 1, Through the Ages, A New Story of Civilization, Seven Wonders Duel, and Viticulture Essentials Edition. Four great games reimagining their original counterpart, and all currently in the BGG Top 25. So it turns out 2015 was an auspicious year for gaming. But it was also a great year for geeks in general. The Arrowverse started their crossovers in the 2014-15 season with Green Arrow and The Flash. We also saw the final films of MCU Phase 2, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man, which, as a side note, Andrew kind of reminds me of Paul Rudd. I haven't ever met Paul, but he seems like a likable guy with a quirky sense of humor, which certainly describes Andrew. Anyway, this was all a rambling way to say that it's exciting to see how far the Family Gamers has come, and we're excited to be part of the ride. First Move Financial is proud to sponsor the Family Gamers, and we're looking forward to the next 200 episodes. Congratulations.
Thank you so much to Donnie and First Move Financial for your continued support of the Family Gamers. It really means a lot to us, and we're really, really thankful that you are such a willing partner with what we're doing.
So, on to the show. This episode is going to be jam-packed with lots of different quick stuff. We sent out an email to all of our friends that we've had on the show, all of them. I watched Andrew combing through our lists, letting them know we were recording episode 200, inviting them to join in on the fun. We're going to be sharing various little clips and recordings of those throughout the show.
Yeah, so the Funkhausers, who run Board Game Spotlight, Lizzie actually sent me a picture of their son, Seb, finally playing tabletop games. It wasn't a board game. It was like a tile game.
It was a memory was game
very,
of
very
some
cute.
Sort.
So yeah. Definitely check out the show notes for this show and take a look at that adorable picture.
Hey, this is Ryan.
And this is Aaron.
From One Board Family. Andrew, Anitra, just wanted to congratulate you on 200 podcast episodes. That's an awesome milestone to achieve.
Thank you so much for providing great game recommendations to families around the world.
Here's to 200 more.
Well, we talked about giveaways. We're going to start early. Giveaway early, giveaway often. I guess that's the motto for the show.
Sure.
Like, so this first giveaway is actually going to be the result of a top secret notification.
I want to giggle because I was responsible for this giveaway.
Okay. So here's what we did. A couple days ago, we sent out an email to everybody who's on the Family Gamers newsletter. And we said, listen, we're not going to publicize this. This is a top secret giveaway just for newsletter subscribers. Answer this one question for us, which was,
how long have you been listening to the podcast?
We collated all of those, and we're using a random number generator to find out who our lucky winner is. And so we are going to do that right now.
All right, plugging it into the random number generator right now. And the winner is ArichOne76. I am not going to give the rest of your email address on the air.
That is very kind of you. Congratulations, ArichOne76.
Who has been listening for less than a year.
Yeah. So we are super excited at all of these responses that we got because they're all over the map. We've had people that have been listening for years. We've had people that have been listening since we joined the Dice Tower Network. We've had people be 100% honest and say they don't listen to the show. So,
and that's okay.
And that's okay. But hopefully they will start because that's how they win these prizes.
Hey.
So congratulations. We will get that copy of Imhotep the Duel right out to you.
And thanks for listening.
Anitra, Andrew, Claire, Elliot, and Asher. This is your game designer friend, Andy Jeremiah. Wow, 200 episodes. Congratulations. Thank you for putting together such a fun and informative show. Keep up the great work. And I don't need to tell you this, but your entire family rocks.
All right. Well, as you've come to expect from us, let's talk about what we've been playing.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that. My sister came to visit last weekend. And we played a game of Magic.
You and your sister and your brother, it was three-headed, and it was kind of cute.
And Asher watched, and he has dabbled enough with Pokemon that he, you know, kind of was following along. He was like, oh, so mana is kind of like energy, and so we were answering some of these questions. And then guess what?
I know what. He came up to me a couple of days later, and he said, Mom, do you know how to play Magic? And I said, I know how to play. And he said, do you have any decks? I'm like, no.
But Daddy has two.
So you and Asher played a game of Magic together. And
we played a few games of Magic together.
You talked him through various options and what he can do and how he can play. And he definitely really enjoyed himself and felt very grown up playing.
Okay, so this is a micro piece of advice for any parents out there who are thinking about getting their kids into Magic.
Don't.
What? No, do, because it'll keep your kids away from drugs. They won't be able to afford them. But in all seriousness, I looked at Asher. I said, okay, bud, look at me. Because, you know, he's a boy, so sometimes he's not actually listening when you think he is.
Mm-hmm.
I said, here's the deal. This is Magic. Sometimes things happen. This is not a game to play if you're the kind of person who gets frustrated playing games. Because it's Magic. Today, we played, and he had to land until he was almost dead.
Oh.
It just happens.
It just happens.
It's just magic. It's just how it happens, right?
It's the luck of the draw.
And I was playing a blue-red counter burn deck that I have, which is super annoying. And if you can't get creatures out fast enough to actually start to take down the counter burn player's health, then they just start plinking your stuff to death. And you're like, I put out a creature and it's immediately dead. And I put out a creature and it's immediately dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating to play against that kind of a deck.
Sure.
Now, my stuff's all super old, because I stopped playing Magic forever ago. But he was playing with one of my old decks against me playing with one of my old decks. And so he was just by the time he was finally putting creatures out, I was like, well, I'm going to tap these four creatures and that thing is dead. I'm going to tap these four creatures and that thing is dead. And I kind of felt bad doing it. But at the same time, he is definitely the kid that struggles the most when he's not winning.
Yes, and for sure.
I was able to be like, I'm going to kill your creature. Dude, this deck is super annoying, right? And he's like, yes. And so even though I could see him getting visibly frustrated while we were playing, I was walking him through the awareness of being frustrated and knowing it wasn't always his fault.
And how to keep it a little lighter, even in your frustration.
Yeah, like I could see it in his face. Like, you know how when kids are trying not to cry and you could just see the corners of their mouth like go down very quickly and then they're fine and they're like, I'm not crying. Like he was doing that. It was very adorable. It was very cute. And I really hate those videos of like parents that are playing games with their kids and just like torturing them. Those are awful. That stuff is awful.
Yes.
But at the same time, I also think it's really important that parents let their kids lose and understand that losing is a thing. We've talked about this in the past.
Many times.
So I didn't really mind playing against him with this red-blue counter burn deck because he needed to experience extreme frustration in a safe environment, which he did.
Good.
But so yeah, so now Asher is learning how to play Magic, and I'm sure that's going to lead to lots of fun in the future.
Cool.
Yep. So a lot of my game playing this week was Magic.
So we won't talk any more about Unmatched, because I feel like we have flogged that to death over the last 2 weeks. It's still good.
It's so good.
But we'll talk about other things.
Well, the only thing I will say about Unmatched, and this is just an encouragement for anybody out there who's still kind of suffering from this whole coronavirus, I can't go out,
semi-quarantine,
with my friend, semi-quarantine thing. I actually played a game of Unmatched with Ryan from One Board Family. And he just had a top-down camera over his board. And I set up my board because you have a completely separate deck. So there's really no sharing of anything. I set up my board and basically echoed everything that was happening. And I had obviously had to describe where I was moving my guys to. But we actually were able to play a game together. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yep. So that is definitely something you can do with Unmatched. And there's so many different characters that you can play with that it's certainly something that as long as both people have the same set of characters, you can do.
Neat. Well, you and I and the kids and a friend played Cartographers.
Yeah.
We had a really good time playing Cartographers in a little bit larger group than usual. It was a fun time. And we pulled out colored pencils.
We did. I was the artistic one. How did that happen?
I am not surprised at all.
I kind of am. Like, I'm not an art person.
Let me just say that Claire, who is artistic, gets it way more from you, and the desire for like precision, it needs to be in there.
Okay. Desires for precision involve like rulers and mechanical pencils, not art.
But it's also the I want this to look good rather than my slapdash, like it's readable, it's good enough. Done.
I guess so. We also played yet another incredibly frustrating game of City Skylines.
I feel like the one time we won, quote unquote, this game was a fluke. And our score even then was only like 5-3.
So I actually posted on the Dice Tower. I was like, listen, people, like who's good at this game? Because I don't know who you are. And then I watched a YouTube video of Antlab, I think, playing a game of City Skylines. And I watched the Rotto run through and I watched the Dice Tower review. I actually hate watching reviews of games that we have in for review because I don't want them to color my opinions. But everybody, except for Rotto, pretty much agreed. This game is hard.
Super hard.
So I feel a little bit better about myself, I suppose.
I'm at the point where if we play Cities Skylines, I want to play some other city-related game to kind of cleanse the palate afterwards and heal the wound.
Well, I think the answer at this point is we need to start adding in the special stuff, which
I agree,
which ostensibly makes the game more complicated, but maybe it also makes the game more possible.
That's what I'm hoping. We will tell you once we find out. So we played City Skylines and we turned around and played Mega City Oceania.
Well, like you said, you wanted to play another city building game that was less difficult.
I mean, yeah, or at least difficult in a very different way.
Sure.
And I think we had a lot of fun with Mega City Oceania. It's the first time we had played with four players and we had quite the city at the end. It looked cool.
It looked really awesome. That's one of the things that's really, really notable about this game is it's a lot of abstract pieces. We talked about the fact that Jordan Draper was involved with the creation of this. So games like Tokyo Judoku or really that whole Tokyo series that Jordan Draper Games did, it's definitely got a lot of similarities to that kind of thing.
It's got some of that same DNA. You can see that
same DNA, yeah. But the pieces being made of plastic and being sometimes translucent or all these different colors, it really gives the game a much more futuristic feel.
For sure.
And it just looks really nice.
Well, and I like that in the rules they say there are a couple of basic restrictions on things you need to touch or not touch. And then other than that, it's put your pieces on here however you want. As long as every piece is touching at least one other piece, you're good. That can mean that it's leaning. That can mean that it's off at some crazy angle. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's weird because you can just kind of like pile pieces up if you
if you really need to.
It all depends. But then, honestly, like, cities have lots in them with collapsed buildings in them. So it doesn't even look that unusual.
Well, or even just, you know, short, stubby buildings.
Or whatever. Yeah. So that game is very good. Oceania?
Sure.
Mega City Oceania from Hub Games. That game is pretty fun. And
I really like it.
And I won, I think.
You won.
So we also sat down with Asher and Claire and we played Bees, the Secret Kingdom.
Not to be confused with Bees, which is a different game.
Which, yeah, it's like zombies are out and bees are in, I guess. I don't know.
There's three or four different
bees games.
You know what? I'm okay with bees being a new theme now because bees are cute and fuzzy and useful.
They make honey.
Yay!
Speaking of honey.
And they pollinate things to make other food.
That's true. Speaking of honey, you should listen to last week's Snap where I sing like an idiot.
He channels his inner Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, it was not good. But
it was funny.
Everything is honey. Anyway, I'm not going to do that again, even though I just did. Right after that, we played Clip Cut Parks.
Yep, we should be releasing a Snap review for that very, very soon. Mm-hmm. We've now played it in a couple of different configurations and solo a few times. It's a really neat game, but I'm not sure that the neatness, the novelty of it is enough to carry it.
Yeah, I like it. It's a different kind of, I guess, roll and cut game.
Roll and snip. I mean, I like it too, but I'm not sure that it is compelling enough to keep it around on my shelf. I think I have other games that fill a similar enough hole that I like better.
There's two different kinds of games that scratch the same itch.
Yeah.
Keep one, not the other. Okay, yeah.
I have also been playing some Koi, which we will have a review hopefully same day as this podcast comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I played some Ice Cool with the kids. Technically Ice Cool plus Ice Cool 2, because...
the mega game.
Well, because, I mean, when you've already got both boxes, why would you only set up one? Why would you not set up a... big old school.
This is true.
So that was pretty fun.
I mean, just going back to Koi, because I actually played one of those games of Koi with you guys. There's a lot of mechanics to that game that make it seem a lot more complex than it really ought to be.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but you don't actually have a lot of choices of what to do on your turn.
It very much seems to me to be an entirely luck-driven game, because for the most part... the right move is pretty obvious.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, which is a little unfortunate. I mean, the game is beautiful. I really love the water. It's like watercolor mm-hmm. art on mm-hmm. the board and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I really enjoy that. And I would say probably that this being the third or fourth time that I've played through the game was probably the most fun I've had playing it, because at this point I've got the mechanics down and I don't feel like I need to go back to the rule book over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was just found... wanting a little bit.
Yeah, I want to like Koi a lot more than I do. It's not a bad game, but it's not the cream of the crop either. I think that's it.
All right, awesome.
So let's move on.
Hi, Andrew and Anitra. We'd like to congratulate you both on your epic accomplishment of 200 shows. 200 is no small number. In fact, Andrew... did you know the square root of 200 is an irrational number? It cannot be represented exactly by any fraction or decimal. Math, pretty crazy, right?
Like Izzy said, 200 episodes is huge. I've been a fan of the podcast since the very beginning. I can't begin to thank you for all your awesome game suggestions over the years, although my wallet doesn't feel the same way. I've lost track of how many cool games you've turned us on to as well. On a personal level, I'd like to thank you for taking me under your wing and allowing me to contribute in so many different ways. Through reviews, the community, and doing snaps with my little partner in crime, Izzy.
That's me!
We've become fast friends and I love talking games and family life with you both any chance we get. For that, I'm forever grateful. This show brings me so much joy. I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank you for teaching me how not to write with a passive voice. It's a pleasure to work with you both and further our mission of connecting families together through board games. Towards the end of our snap reviews, we always mention a couple highlights, so we thought, why not here? So, Izzy, what do you like about the Family Gamers?
I loved representing the Family Gamers with our matching t-shirts at the last two Gen Cons. Kudos to Andrew, who made the shirts. It was fun being on the Gen Con show. And for the record, I still don't have my dragon bracelet. You know what I'm talking about.
I'll never live that down, will I?
I love the board games that they recommend us. It's fun being a hand model for my dad's review pictures. Anitra, it's awesome that you represent us ladies in gaming. Girls play to win! How about you, Dad?
Well, aside from games, you both bring a lot of fun to the show with some radical guests and really cool segments. I love the hilarious sketches and snap reviews and your tireless efforts in For Science segments, like the time you ate crickets at PAX.
Dude, that's gross. You're not a frog.
I also want to go on the record saying Andrew's corny dad jokes are great, and his cheesy puns keep me tuned in every week. Anitra, after hearing you talk about solo gaming while waiting in the carpool lines at school, you inspire me to game my face off on my lunch hours. I blame you for turning me onto all these fantastic Roll and Write games. And Anitra, if it's the last thing we do, we'll get Andrew to play more Roll and Writes. Honestly, at some point, he'll run out of sheets for cartographers. This will be the most important goal to achieve before episode 300. Andrew's full immersion in Roll and Write gaming.
All in all, we just wanted to say thank you for all that you do.
We love you
and play games with your kids!
Oh, man. Thanks so much, Nick and Izzy. Especially Izzy. You're right. Girls play to win.
Oh, man. I think we had this conversation a couple of days ago. We played a game of Downforce on Board Game Arena. And you, like, full-on stabbed me directly in the back during that game.
I'm trying to win. It's not personal. But I'm not going to handicap myself just because my husband happens to be playing.
Honestly. Anyway, thank you, Nick and Izzy, for that. That was wonderful and hilarious. And Izzy, we will hook you up with the dragon bracelet. If Dad can't get his act together, we'll take care of it for you. Don't worry about that. So thank you both for everything that you guys do for the show as well. So let's get into some back talk, huh?
Hey, back talk. Right. We won't take it from our kids.
But we will take it from you. So first, I want to talk about a message that I got from Peter Ellis, who's written into the show a few times. And Peter says, talking about our faux argument about summer and when summer starts.
I mean, when does summer start? I say it starts on the 20th, I think, the solstice.
Here we go. Peter Ellis. It is true that summer solstice is the first day of astronomical summer. However, meteorologists break the seasons up by months. So meteorological summer starts on June 1st. Of course, by either measure, it is now summer.
And, I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah. So I wrote him back and I said, well, the only thing better than you writing me to say Anitra was wrong and you were right is that we're both right.
Yeah, I can accept that we're both right.
I'm fine with that. So we were both right.
We also asked on our Facebook group what people's favorite memory was of the show. And we wanted to share a couple of those with you.
Mm-hmm. So Derek Scott wrote, and he said, as a history teacher, I liked your episode around 100 episodes ago on games with history in mind.
That was episode 132.
So around 68 episodes ago, or 68 episodes ago, exactly. You mentioned a lot that if you don't learn from history, you are bound to repeat it. Hopefully we're not the only people who say that, which is one of my favorite hooks on getting kids interested in history. I didn't comment at the time, but I used parts of the System of Freedom, the Underground Railroad, to teach my Civil War unit. I obviously don't play the game, although I wouldn't call it that. I use the map to point out key locations and talk about some abolitionists highlighted in the game. Another great game to teach history that is easy to teach is 1812, Easy Combat, that I have taught to my six-year-old. Keep up the good work with the podcast.
As an aside, I went to a homeschool curriculum sale, and I picked up a couple copies of Timeline.
Mm-hmm. And then you put them on the shelf. I saw them the other day when I was putting games away.
I did. And I'm looking forward to using those in game schooling.
Oh, boy. She's a game schooling mom coming up this fall. That'll make for some new podcast topics, I'm sure.
Maybe. Duana Paplo said, the latest episode I loved was 197, Back the Comeback. I forwarded it to the owners of my friendly local game store to let them know that I loved them. Their mission statement is building community around the table. I love everything about that, Duana.
All right. Wayne Kruger wrote and said, not a specific memory, but I've enjoyed the recommendations and have picked up a number of games for my now six-year-old from the games you review and talk about. Finally got a copy of Ghost Fighting Treasure Hunters, and he loves it. The Creepy Cellars expansion is actually available for that, by the way. So if you go to, you know, Amazon or whatever, I think
Target,
it's about $20.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you can find it at Target.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's still really hard to find, but at least they have it at Amazon.
Sure. Chris Goodlett, who we had on the show a little while back, said, the fun facts are enjoyable. I'm glad he thinks so.
They're great. Come on.
My favorite piece is the genuine interactions you have with your guests. I loved coming on, and I felt welcomed into your home.
I mean, I will point out that when he was on, we were using videos so he could literally see our home.
See our home, yeah.
The mess that is my office. But thanks so much for that, Chris. We really appreciated having you on as well. All right, well, we haven't given away a board game in like 10 whole minutes, so we're going to give away a board game.
Okay.
All right. I think we are going to send a copy of Endangered from Grand Gamers Guild to Wayne Kruger.
Congratulations, Wayne.
But we're going to keep the nature-themed prizes going. So for Derek and Duena and Chris, who all commented and shared their favorite parts, we have digital codes for Evolution. So this could be on Steam, on iOS, or on Android. We'll reach out to you guys, find out what you prefer the best. These were generously provided by Scott from North Star Games. He was on episode 193. And speaking of Grand Gamers Guild, we got a note from Mark.
This is Mark from Grand Gamers Guild. Congratulations on hitting 200 episodes. I'm happy to have been a part of the Family Gamers journey from Pocket Ops until now. Can't wait to listen to the next 200.
And we're back. Oh, I'm so excited for this part of the show.
Okay.
We're going to do four science.
Okay. So here's the deal. You guys need to know this. Anitra was at the, I don't even know what store it was. She was at some store today. She was sending me pictures of various things saying, ooh, for science. Ooh, for science. And I told her, whatever it was that she actually got, don't send me pictures of it. So given the creepy stuff that she was sending me, I'm a little scared about what's about to happen.
So I was at the Dollar Tree, and the Dollar Tree has...
Dollar Tree? They have wacko stuff at Dollar Tree, huh?
They have plenty of normal food and snacks and candy and things, but they also have some really whacked out stuff. You'll be glad to know I did not get you the Arizona brand, like Arizona Teas, nachos and cheese dip combo tray. I did not get you that.
That's like from the minor league baseball games.
Pretty much. I also looked into getting all kinds of weird things like toasted corn.
I mean, that doesn't sound so bad.
Or crunchy coated peanuts.
I mean, I really like peanut butter.
Which seemed a little weird.
So what Anitra's saying right now is those things didn't seem disgusting enough, so I decided not to get those.
Well, in truth, I got you two things. I got you one thing that is probably not disgusting.
Okay.
Probably good.
Probably good.
I also got you one thing that is probably disgusting.
Okay.
So what would you like to do first?
I don't care.
Why don't we go with probably disgusting first, and then you can wash the taste out with something
great.
Else.
That sounds wonderful.
So here is probably disgusting.
This is not good. What I have in front of me is, you know those on-the-go drink mix packets, the little tubes?
Yeah, the little tubes of lemonade or iced tea or whatever that you can pour into your water and make it flavored.
And truthfully, I actually get these a lot.
Yes.
I get these a lot.
You do. I thought about buying some normal ones for you, but I could not pass this up.
So this is 6 drink mix packets for on-the-go A&W root beer.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it's not fizzy, but I guess we'll find out.
All right.
All right, he's opening the package.
Oh, man. Anitra has gotten me water in a water bottle.
What's it smell like?
It smells like root beer.
Okay.
All right, I've shaken it up. I've mixed it in. I mean, it smells like root beer. It pretty much tastes like flat root beer.
I'm going to try some.
Oh, Anitra's trying it. Anitra is doing the four science thing.
It smells so much like root beer, and the beginning of the taste is like root beer, and then the aftertaste is a little weird and stings my tongue a little.
It is definitely a very chemical-y taste.
Yeah, but then again, A&W root beer, to my taste at this point, kind of is a chemical-y taste anyway.
Yeah, so I'm going to close this bottle because it smells bad. But other than that... Not as horrible as I thought it might be.
Yeah.
As far as for science goes, I would rate this below Wendy's breakfast.
Okay.
Below Taco Bell breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Above the chili covered things from Darth Grader.
Everything is above those. Those were so gross.
I think I'm going to put this below the crickets. Because until you got... So go to our Facebook page, look up the video that I did with Bruce Vogue and Flip Flory. And in that video, Bruce very expertly describes that once you've chewed on the bugs for a while, they get a little buggy. There's a little bit of a mushy bugginess, which is kind of gross. But before that, they kind of taste like potato chips.
Yeah.
And I like potato chips.
Sure.
So the A&W root beer packets of doom are below the crickets, but above the... I don't remember what that stuff was.
That gross
like
root
cactus
stem
pulp
stuff.
Or something.
Yeah.
Hawthorn pulp. That's what it was. Yep. Above the Hawthorn pulp, below everything else.
I mean, drinkable.
And that is something disgusting for science. If you would like a packet, I will send you a complimentary packet of A&W root beer on the go drink mix.
Just send Andrew an email.
Yes.
With your address.
Andrew at thefamilygamers.com. I will be happy to drop one of these in the mail, postage paid, and everything.
All right. Are you ready for the thing that's probably not gross?
I am super ready for the thing that's probably not gross. I'm actually secretly hoping that you have like a for science like treat and it's something delicious.
I mean, I think you will probably find it delicious. I don't think I would want it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what I was hoping for, but okay. Okay. Let's give it a shot. So what do we have?
So have you heard of late July snacks? They're this kind of hippie snack food brand that they do potato chips and corn chips and stuff, but a little bit healthier.
Okay.
I found you late July bacon habanero tortilla chips.
Ooh, I am excited for this. All right. So this is a big old bag. Bacon habanero. Okay.
I said, it is a treat, but it's only a treat for you because habanero does not interest me even in the slightest.
I think we'll take pictures of both of these and include them in the show notes in case you want to see what the package looks like. Okay. Not a painful smell. That's a good sign. Ah, there we go. They don't look covered in habanero dust or anything. They basically look like Cool Ranch Doritos. Good smoky bacon flavor.
Any spice?
It's very faint. Very faint spice. I'm going to have to go in for a couple more. For science.
Any spice yet? Need to keep looking towards the bottom of the bag?
There's something on my tongue. It's not that bad. You would not hate yourself eating these.
Okay.
But.
We're doing what that thing that the cool kids do is like AMSR or something? ASMR?
Yeah. Andrew eating bacon habanero chips, ASMR, whatever. Okay. Late July bacon habanero chips. Would buy again.
Okay.
We'll go upstairs. We'll put them with all the rest of the stuff. I'll make the kids eat them.
You won't make the kids eat them. You don't want to share those with the kids. You want to have them for yourself.
I mean, they're not mind-blowing. So the thing that's so good about Doritos in a terrible way is that there's just a ton of flavor.
Way too much.
There's probably
powder.
Too much flavor.
Yeah.
Probably too much, even though I don't like to admit that. These do not have that.
Okay.
So there's a defined tortilla taste to these.
Gotcha.
Which, even though Doritos are tortilla chips, you really don't get the tortilla flavor because there's so much flavor powder on the chips. With these, you do. You get the bacon. You don't really get habanero flavor. You just get like a warmness to it.
Okay.
I wouldn't even really describe it as spicy, per se. You're going to have to try some of these. Maybe not tonight, but you're going to have to try some. I don't know that I would call it spicy. I can feel a little bit of like, hey, you had something that had some capsaicin in it, but it's not anything. But there's a nice, rich, smoky bacon flavor. Like, honestly, I mean, these could go on the shopping list. I would eat them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So that is late July bacon habanero tortilla chips. I'm putting them right like with Wendy's breakfast.
High praise.
Yeah, They're right there. And that, my friends, is for science.
For science.
Speaking of, by the way, those amazing crickets that we had, here's a note from our dear friend, Steve Bonacore.
Hey, Andrew and Anitra. This is Stephen Bonacore from Stronghold Games. I am so happy to hear that you guys have reached 200 episodes. Could not have happened to a nicer couple. Thank you so much for what you do for podcasting, game media, playing games with your kids, is an awesome thing to be talking about and doing. So congratulations again. And by the way, Board Games Insider, that's my podcast with Ignacy Cevicek of Portal Games, where we talk about the industry. We're at 150 episodes this week, so we're right on your tails. Congratulations again, guys. Take care of yourself.
I'm all for it. I actually really enjoy Board Game Insider, so you should definitely check out that podcast after listening to The Family Gamers.
Of course.
Of course.
All right, so we promised we were going to bring back as many recurring segments as we could.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play Board Game in the Middle.
And since we were just talking about board games about making cities, this is a city-themed edition of Board Game in the Middle.
Yes. So the three games I picked were City Skylines, Megacity Oceania, and our favorite city-building game, Sprawlopolis. For those of you who haven't been listening for 100-plus episodes, let me explain how Board Game in the Middle works. I picked three games, and I have looked up the average rating for each game on BoardGameGeek. So this isn't the weighted rating that BGG gives that puts in complexity and all kinds of other stuff. It's just an average of all of the user ratings of that game. I'm not going to tell you what the ratings are. Your job is to, of the three, pick which one is in the middle.
You've already looked them up?
I have already looked them up.
So there's no guess coming from you on this one?
No.
Okay. So I have to guess which one of these is in the middle. So I have to figure out which one is ranked the best out of the three, which one is ranked the worst out of the three, and then the one that's in the middle is the one that I need to guess.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just restating this a bunch of times as an excuse to buy myself as much time as possible while I attempt to think this through.
Think out loud.
So here's what I think is going to happen. I think Sprawlopolis is going to be the highest ranked game because it's, I mean, it's excellent. I've literally never seen anybody not say that it was excellent. I think it's probably next to Tussie Mussie, the best-selling game that Button Shy makes. Maybe Circle the Wagons, but it's up there. Top five,
I think,
sure.
Until Tussie Mussie was officially published, it was their best-selling game, and it got there really quick.
It's not a surprise. Okay, so that's at the top, which leaves me with City Skylines and Megacity Oceania. I think that Megacity is probably lower, and I think it's probably lower because I don't think that Hub Games has the name recognition that Cosmos does. And I think that Cities Skylines comes from a pre-existing intellectual property, and so more people are aware of it and can tie it back to what they remember about the video game. So even though I personally like Megacity better, I think Cities Skylines is the board game in the middle.
So think about your experience of the games, too, though. Like, yes, City Skylines might get more people interested, but do you think people are actually, of the people who are rating their games on BoardGameGeek, do you think people are going to rate City Skylines higher than Megacity Oceania?
I do, because of everything that I mentioned. I think that the average rating is an emotional rating. It's not hard fact, although board sure. gamers, generally speaking, are less emotional and
oh,
are
my
more,
goodness.
You know, analytical. But to that point, board gamers are more analytical and like complex puzzles. And the significant amount of Megacity is a dexterity game in the ability to build these things and then slide them across the table.
Sure.
And I think when you're looking at the classic BGG tilt, I think that that's going to play more heavily into the hand of City Skylines.
Okay.
So even though it's not my ranking is Sprawlopolis, Megacity, and then Cities probably immediately below it. I don't think it's a bad game. I just think it's really, really hard, and that's my order. But I think on BGG, I think City Skylines is the board game in the middle. So everybody, the way this works is like this. This is just for fun. It's no contest. Nobody's going to win a game or anything because you could just look it up and that would be boring. But go ahead, head over to the Family Gamers Facebook page. At Family Gamers AA, comment on the post and let us know what you think. Whether you agree with me, whether you think I'm a crazy person, both of those are valid.
I mean, if you think maybe Sprawlopolis is in the middle because one of those two other games has or will leap in popularity.
Yeah, whatever it might be, but head over and leave us a comment on the post for this show. And we'll just kind of talk about it next week's show.
All right. Did you want to give another game away?
Yeah, why not? Let's do that. So I think we talked a couple of weeks ago about a Rafflecopter board game giveaway that we were going to do.
Yeah, and this one we specifically sent out to members of the Family Gamers Facebook community. So you probably would not have seen the link if you were not part of the community.
But you should be part of the Family Gamers community. You can go to thefamilygamers.com/community. Brings you right into the Facebook community. We literally have people joining that community almost every day. So it's definitely a happening place for those of you who want to learn a little bit more or share a little bit more about playing games with your kids. So that game is Smash Up. We talked about Smash Up a lot with Rick White on episode, I think, 195, maybe?
Something like that.
Something like that. And we have a brand new in-shrink copy of the base game of Smash Up that we are going to give away to...
Drumroll, please. Brrr. Todd Prouty.
Congratulations to Todd. We will reach out to you via email, and we will get that off to you. That is a copy of Smash Up from AEG. Okay, quick trivia question. So I don't actually know the answer to this. I have some guesses on what the most complicated game is, but I don't have the answer to this right now. What is the BGG complexity rating of the most complicated game in the Family Gamers collection? You can guess on what games you think are in our collection. I've talked about
some of these in the past. I'm not even sure I remember what all the games are in our collection, especially the more complicated ones.
So, I mean, this could literally just be a total stab in the dark. This is not The Price is Right.
Five.
Okay, no.
Stop. Five is the maximum complexity rating. Yes, it's not that.
This is not The Price is Right. I don't know. If it's 2.2 and you guess 2.3 and the other closest is 2.0, the 2.3 would win. It's not that big of a deal. But go ahead and guess what you think the most complex game is in our collection. The BGG complexity rating for the most complex game in our collection. You can guess that by commenting on this show on Facebook, or by sending us an email, or by sending us a tweet at FamilyGamersAA is our handle on Twitter. I will collate all of those, figure out who is the closest, and we will send you a copy of Keys to the Castle from Outset Media.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. If you pay lots of attention to the show, you probably could figure out where our BGG collection is actually posted.
Maybe.
But it's not on our BGG at FamilyGamersAA account.
No.
It's not. So... take a guess. Maybe you'll win a copy of Keys to the Castle.
Hi, Andrew and Anitra. This is Ken Franklin congratulating you on your 200th podcast episode and for proving that loving your family is the best co-op game of all. God bless.
Aww. Ken, you are so sweet. Thank you.
Honestly, like... really, all of this stuff has been very, very touching. It's been kind of an emotional week as these things have come in.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, so what we wanted to do for the show as a topic is actually look back over the last 100 or so episodes. We did a little bit of a reflection when we did episode 100 and see what kinds of things have changed. And way back then, we actually put out a survey to ask people what they wanted from the Family Gamers. We thought we could take a look at that and see what we did change and what we tried to do better, and then maybe looking forward to some of the things that we can do in the future, things that we're hoping to do in the future. We'll see. Dennis from Bellwether Games, we had him on the show, gosh, a really long time ago. He wrote in and said, if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently? Maybe not a weekly show. Maybe a bi-weekly show.
That would be one thing. I think back to the early days of the show, I would not have let you talk me into starting a podcast with you when we were already looking at the possibility of selling our house, having to show our house, having to move with three small children. We ended up taking better part of a year off from the podcast.
Well, I don't think it was quite that much. It was
6 months. 8 months, something like that.
It was not a small amount of time. So we started the podcast in late summer of 2015. And we moved in early summer of 2016.
Yeah. And I mean, we weren't super good about doing a regular show before that.
Right.
And then we got worse at it.
we were okay. But in between the end of summer 2015 and the early summer 2016, we did things like remodeled our kitchen and dealt with mold that we discovered in the attic and all sorts of things that were relatively invasive to our home life.
And did all of these things while chasing around a mobile baby and then a toddler and getting other children to school and all of that.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy time for us.
Yeah.
But I am very thankful and very proud of you for putting up with my nonsense.
I do put up with your nonsense, don't I?
She really does. She had this vindictive gleam in her eye when she was pulling out those A&W drink mixes, I tell you what.
I mean, it's true. People have asked how we got started, and the answer is, honestly, I just got tired of him asking to start a podcast with me, and I just was like, fine, we'll try it, and it'll be terrible, and it won't go anywhere, and then we'll be done, and you'll stop asking me.
And then it was great.
And it's been great, and it's been 5 years, and I don't see us stopping anytime soon.
Y'all are welcome. That's what I have to say about that. You know, one of the things that we got as feedback when we did ask that question was that we would mention a game and we would talk about the game for like 10 minutes or something like that.
We would get all excited.
And then we would move on. And a lot of the time people are listening like in their car or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so what we tried to do very hard, and I don't know if you've noticed this listening to the show, is we'll mention a game, we'll talk about a game, and then I will say, so that is blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, not every time because we're human and we forget, right. But we really do try to be a lot clearer about what the games are we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, we also started up the Snap Reviews.
Yeah, that was almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. We're in the 80s. We're in the early 80s of Snap Reviews, and we release one a week roughly. We've probably missed, I don't know, 5 to 10 weeks over the course of the last couple of years or so.
Yeah.
But every Friday, we release an audio review, and if you listen to the podcast, you hear them in the middle of the show, usually, mm-hmm. not always. Sometimes we've got other stuff to put in there. But those Snap Reviews are something that we started up a couple of years ago, and I really am glad that we did. I think they've really been helpful for us to get our thoughts out about certain games that maybe it would be difficult to execute like a full 700 to 1,000 word written review about.
Yeah. And it's also given us the opportunity to pull the kids in more often and right. have them be a part of doing the reviews, not just play the games and then tell mom I hate it or when can we play this again mm-hmm. and be done.
Yeah, even when we do get the kids involved in the review writing process, I'm using air quotes here, it's really just a quote. It's just a one-liner that we mm-hmm. put block quote styling on in the review and that's about it. But getting them actually involved in the little like micro skits that we do or weighing in a little bit more, I think that's been really rewarding, and you can really tell which of our kids hate it, which of our kids love it.
If there's anything else I would do differently, I think you and I both have benefited a lot from having a set schedule. Sometimes it's tough, but we try every week to do a podcast that comes out on Monday, a written review that comes out on Monday, and a Snap Review that comes out on Friday. And having those expectations in place mm-hmm. has helped us to be productive and get things done and get into a habit and a pattern. We're still working on the idea of getting ahead with things like the podcast and the reviews, but we'll get there.
Right. And we also have this idea that if we have this itch to do like a special feature or something like that, we usually will release those on Wednesdays.
Yes.
So just to space them out. So you'd have like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing. The whole feature that we did with Haba, we actually did those on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. We did all of those on Wednesdays.
So just a way to space the content out. So what do you think? What have we done over the last couple of years that you've really liked? Or what have we done over the last couple of years that you've really hated or found was not particularly valuable? Or what could we do differently?
I've got something based on feedback from years ago.
Uh-oh.
So every once in a while, we'll read our Apple Podcasts reviews on the show. And there was one relatively early in the run of the show by someone who said they thought everything about the podcast was great, except there's a tendency for the two of us to talk over each other. I mean, we still do that, but I think we're more intentional about when we choose to talk over each other and when we hold up and make more space for each other now.
Also, I edit some of it out.
That's part of the intentionality.
But really, our focus is to figure out the best way that we can share this stuff with everyone who's listening to the show. So if there's something that you would like us to cover that we're not, please let us know. If there is something that you think we could do differently or something that you really, really can't stand, let us know.
Or something that you like that you just want to see more of.
Mm-hmm.
We're up for that too.
As long as it's not A&W root beer mix.
Yes, more. More.
more bacon habanero, please. But I do remember when we sent out that survey, we got some people that loved our opening music and some people that hated our opening music and all this other stuff. We have actually changed a fair number of things over the years. We got blanket permission to use a certain band's music, so I think we're probably going to stick with that for a while.
We might as well name them. I mean,
yeah, it's U-Bred Raptors. This is a band that I saw playing. They were doing like ambiance music in the general lobby of the Javits Center at New York Toy Fair in 2017. And I went home and bought a bunch of their music. And then they forgot to send it to me. So I emailed them and they said, oh, man, can we send you a bunch of extra stuff? And I said, how about you just give us permission to use your music on our show? And he's like, absolutely. So
here we are.
Here we are. And that's why you get the cool cello riffs at the beginning of every show.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, in the Snap Reviews. If you like those, you should definitely look up U-Bred Raptors. Because there's a question mark in their name.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy their music. It's a
very
nice,
different. It's very different.
It's chill.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when we first started this show, we actually had a different name. But then I found out that that name was the same name as like some other band or something like that. So we ended up dropping that. And yeah, we had this old hokey music. Do you remember the old hokey music?
Oh, I do. I do.
The show with way back in the beginning.
When we were a new challenger approaches.
Yes, that's what we were because our kids loved and still love Smash Brothers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's what that was. I don't know. There's been a lot of weird things over the years. I think we've kind of found a place that we like to be in. And I really hope that people like what we're doing.
I think we've smoothed out the bumps and figured out where we want to be. And hopefully, listener, that's where you want us to be too, because that's where we are.
Well, I know where I want to be right now.
Face down in that bag of bacon habanero chips?
No, I can hold back from the bacon habanero chips until the end of the show. Wow. I want to be giving something away.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do that. So we already gave away something to the subscribers of the newsletter,
but let's do it again.
So this time we are going to stick with Cosmos. And we're going to give away a copy of Drop It.
Very cool.
Yes, this is generously provided by Tom Wetzel at Thames and Cosmos. So thank you very much to Tom for providing this for the giveaway. So Anitra, get into that random number generator of yours. Let's see what we've got.
All right. This is someone who says they've been listening for about 2 years.
Awesome. I like it.
Their email address is something@midroast.com. We will contact you via email.
All right. Well, congratulations. I guess this is a little harder than I thought because we don't have names.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have names attached to these emails because I was trying to collect as little information as possible.
All right.
So only the two people who won will have to, you know, give us names and addresses. And nobody else has to
send the games to them. All right. Well, congratulations. We will contact you and we'll get that copy of Drop It sent right out. Thanks so much for listening to the show. And here's a message from Tom.
Hello, family gamers. This is Tom from Thames and Cosmos. I am so grateful for all of the great content you guys have created over the years. 200 episodes is really impressive. Andrew and Anitra, you are two of the nicest people from Massachusetts that I know. I know that's not saying much, but you really are pretty great. So thanks again, and I hope to hear 200 more episodes.
Tom. The nicest people he knows from Massachusetts, but it's not saying much.
I mean, I guess that's a compliment.
We really have enjoyed working with Tom over the years. It's been a lot of fun. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a look forward. So we took a look back. We kind of talked about the now.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
in the now. But let's look forward. Obviously, in 2020, like, conventions aren't happening.
So yeah,
normally we would have Gen Con coverage. Normally we would have Origins coverage. Normally we would have PAX Unplugged coverage. Hopefully we still have PAX Unplugged coverage.
I mean, who knows?
I don't know.
So all the stuff that we talked about in episode 176, where we talked about our goals for 2020, a lot of those are not probably going to happen this year.
Yeah,
the
probably not.
Board game nights, the conventions, not so much.
Do not think so.
But you know what we can still do? We can still play games with our kids.
We can, and we have been doing a lot of that.
And we can still reduce our shelf of shame.
We can, and we'll try.
And we'll keep working on that.
You know, one of the hardest things with that is we have some party games on our shelf of shame, or games that really would benefit from a larger player count.
Yeah, those might not happen.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. But really specifically related to the Family Gamers and everything that we do, what are the things that we're planning on doing in the future? One thing that I pitched to Asher today is that he should probably start to learn how to do some video editing, because I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, adults ain't got time for that. that's certainly a possibility.
Video stuff is something we've always wanted to get into, but we need to find the right niche for it. There's so much out there right now. I don't want to be just another voice in the sea of board game reviewers. So we got to find the right thing. So that's a question for everybody here. So from a family-related perspective, obviously, One Board Family is doing some good stuff. Our Family Plays Games is doing some great stuff. We just had them on the show last week. What are you looking for in video or family weight games that you aren't getting anywhere else? Maybe we can help provide that.
And even if we can't do it, maybe we can find somebody else who is and point you towards them.
Absolutely. Yeah. This community benefits from all of the content creators supporting each other. So this isn't something where we need to be the ones that are successful. We want everybody to be successful in whatever that means.
Back to your earlier point, I think we are going to keep doing more to pull our kids into the aspects of creating content. So not just playing the games, but helping us to talk about the games, helping us to write about the games, helping us to take photographs of the games. I don't know. As it looks more and more likely that we'll probably be bouncing back and forth between time in school and time at home this fall, I think that it'll probably be good both for our family and for the Family Gamers for our older children to be doing more of that stuff.
I mean, writing board game reviews for homework sounds like kind of the most amazing homework ever. That's all I'm going to say.
I think we've already used up our chances on that with one child. Claire did write one review, and then when she was all done with it, she said, I never want to do that again.
But you know what?
I don't blame her.
She did it.
But she did it.
And she went through the process, and she wanted to do it beforehand, and she did it, and then she never wanted to do it again, and she learned from the experience.
And that's totally fine.
And that's exactly what we wanted.
And by the way, if you are interested in that, or you want to show your kids what it looks like when a kid writes a review, that review is Incubation.
Mm-hmm. So go check that one out at thefamilygamers.com. So one more time, if there's anything that you would like to see from us, please let us know. There's all sorts of different ways that you can do that. The easiest way is to reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FamilyGamersAA.
You should definitely join our Facebook community if you're on Facebook at all.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to get there is to go to thefamilygamers.com/community or look for Family Gamers on Facebook.
That's right. You should definitely subscribe to the newsletter. You don't want to miss out on all those giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that most easily by going to thefamilygamers.com/newsletter and just type in your email and you will be subscribed.
If all of this seems a little bit too technical for you, you can email us.
Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. Please send Andrew more things to eat for science. Do it!
You can send those to The Family Gamers, P.O. Box 528, Auburn, Massachusetts, 01501.
And of course, thank you for listening to our podcast. We definitely would not still be doing this if it were not for all of you who listen, who support us with your kind words and your suggestions.
And your mockery. That's okay, too.
You know, in moderation.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the show, to tell your friends about the show, and leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again to our sponsor, First Move Financial. Visit firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to schedule a 15-minute call and see if Donnie can help you.
That's going to wrap up our 200th episode of the Family Gamers podcast.
I still can't believe we're here.
We are. We did it.
High five.
All right.
Go team.
Go team. And until next week.
Play games with your kids.